Hey y'all, what's up? I didn't do the normal walk-in as before just because I got really lazy about doing that, so I'm just chilling here. Welcome to the Why the F Not podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Brogan Cortez. Is this close enough? That's close enough. Stop touching the mic, Stephen. Welcome to the podcast. This is episode, what episode is this? I think I said 79? This is episode 79. Getting ever closer to that episode 100. And at episode 100, I'm going to be doing an interview myself. I'm gonna have someone coming in, interviewing me, and it'll be the Stephen Brogan Cortez Why the If Not podcast with special guest Stephen Brogan Cortez. That'll be a fun time. But we're getting closer to that. And before we get to that, let's talk about episode 79. Why you're here today, Sarkis Bakalian. Sarkis is here talking about his new show, Ninja Survive. It's an animated show that came to him from the depths of his mind. From I can't tell you where it came from. I'm going to give you the whole thing before you even start the show. That's why you're here, to learn about Ninja Survive and Sarkis. We talk about video games, talk about movies. We had a good time. We had a real good time. So sit back, relax. It's a long one, so maybe take it in chunks. I don't know. Do what you got to do. But I hope you enjoy this latest episode of the Why the F Not podcast with Sarkis Bakalian. About Ninja Survive up until now, and I'm a hot mess, Sarkis. I will open. I'm a hot mess.
You're fine, bro. It's fine.
This is like the process, you know. I like to be very open and raw. You know, because I don't wanna I don't like the over editing, you know. Open and raw. Okay. So that's why I like to be open with the audience. So yeah, audience, I fucked up a little bit there. But hey, we're going to roll with the punches. We're going to keep going with it because we don't have a producer yet. I would put Stephanie as producer, but she has a master's degree and I think I'd have to pay her. So,
Very cool.
We don't have any money for that. So Ninja Survive, dude. So wait, So you've been working on this since CSUN?
Since CSUN, that's right. The idea of Ninja Survive came to me. Do I have to say that part again?
Or say it again for fun.
Cool.
Let's get it in people's ears. This is for the YouTube clip.
All right. So I had the idea of Ninja Survive since the college days. So on my commute to and from CSUN, I would listen to a lot of 80s music. You know, that's one of my favorite genres. And one band in particular that I listened to the most was Europe. You know, their most famous song is The Final Countdown. And The Final Countdown album has so many hidden gems that people don't realize. That there's one song in particular that really stood out to me, and it's called Ninja. And I kept listening to that song over and over, and it just, in my mind, I'm like, this has to be the theme to a TV show, right? Like an intro theme to a TV show. And I Google searched it to death, trying to figure out like, oh, is this an actual thing? Is this, but no, I couldn't find anything. So that chorus, you know, when he says Ninja Survive, I'm like, that's, I feel like I want to make something based around that title. And so fast forward to 2017 when I was working on a theatrical production with in North Hollywood, and one of my castmates, Brandon Swafford,
we gotta give Brandon Swafford more shout outs, not to mention my fuck up earlier, but we have to give the animators so much respect and so much. We got to give him props. We got to give him props. You have to. So please tell me more about Brandon. Continue.
Yeah. So I met Brandon backstage. He was like doodling, you know, sketching in his notebook. And I was impressed by it. So I came closer. I'm like, dude, your art is really awesome. Like, how long have you been doing this? And he's like, I've been doing it since I was a kid, you know, practically my whole life. And I'm like, well, I have this idea for a cartoon, but I don't know who to go to. And he's like, well, I'm studying animation in college right now. It's like the perfect thing. Just like the universe just like gave to me. I'm like, I needed this guy because I don't know how to animate or art, like draw and stuff. So, Brandon Swafford is an utter blessing in my life. And he is one half. That's why he's one of the co-creators. He's such an amazing, inspirational visionary with his art, and his art style is pretty awesome. So,
yeah. Dude, Can you speak on, I wish Brandon was here to speak on his animation style. Do you know from like just hanging out with him, you spending all this time creating Ninja Survive, do you know where his animation style like was inspired from? You said it was archaic. You mentioned that word to describe it. Do you know of any specific inspirations he pulls from?
I can't say that I know exactly, but one person during the Channel 101 festival that we submitted to recently, they commented saying it was like a combination of like Looney Tunes and another really old cartoon style. And I was like, oh, interesting. I didn't make that connection before. And you don't really see Looney Tunes style animation anymore. You know, it's very old school. It's very old school. Excuse me. But like when I look at it more and more, I'm like, that is true. It kind of does look like Looney Tunes, but a more modernized version of it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I can't really speak on behalf of Brandon, but I do wish he was here. He could tell us himself. So,
dude, next time we'll have him on here, like as the show itself progresses, right? Like, so after this competition, are you hoping like shooting for the stars, being picked up, producing full episodes?
Well, actually, there's a ballot going out right now for the Channie Awards, and we're included in the nomination process. So if you would like, you know, I can give you the link. You can maybe put it in your description for the podcast.
Yes, sir.
We're number 10 and 11 on the ballot. So if you can please nominate us, Ninja Survive, on numbers 10 and 11. It's for failed pilot and best animation. Failed pilot because we didn't make the top 5 of this month. But if we did make 8th, so that's top 10, not too bad. Over 30 submissions and we got 8th place. So, yeah, if you can please nominate us, that would be awesome.
30 submissions. Is that just from California or is it from across the country?
I think it's America, like all of America. Yeah.
Wow, dude. So congratulations. Yeah. A bunch
Thank
of animation
you.
Teams across the country, 30 submissions, you're top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's a victory right there, baby. That's a victory.
Yeah, thank you. And to be screened on the same stage as where Rick and Morty got their start is pretty awesome. Like, I'm humbled by it. So
it gives you like that nice sense of that reminder that everyone started somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That you're starting here. Like, all right, I'm gonna remember this 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to remember my first screening of Ninja Survive. You got to soak those moments in, man.
Heck
pass
yeah.
By so fast. That's what college feels like.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
College feels like a reality TV show we were in that we didn't realize was great until after we left. We were like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it?
It was a good time in college, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel, sure. It just passes by too fast. But let's get back to some Ninja Survive. So,
sure.
What you said, the boy, the main character,
mm-hmm.
What was the inspiration for the main character?
Myself, actually.
I was gonna ask, but I didn't want to assume. You know, I don't want to assume.
Me growing up, I loved comics, video games, movies, just any form of entertainment. Like, I wanted to get my hands on and I wanted to consume it, and so. Simon is a representation of that as he's creating his own comic book. He's envisioning like all the amazing things that he's seen before. And so he's inspired by that and creating this comic book world of his own. Well, without realizing he's creating this world. But yeah, it's, I would say I put a lot of myself into Simon and as well as Dion, the ninja character in the comic book as well. So, yeah.
All right. I want to keep asking questions, but I feel like I'm going to give away plot points.
No, it's fine. I'll like be vague about it if anything.
Okay, so Dion was the ninja's character's name?
Yes. And Dion Amir is the ninja's character.
But
the ninja character.
Mm-hmm. But the ninja character is not the same. Is that the alter ego for the main character? Like in the comic book? Or is Amir the ninja in the comic book created from the boy and they're both the same person? Oh, wait, no.
Not necessarily.
I'm breaking my mind. I can't wait to read this. I'm breaking my mind.
Not necessarily. It's Simon creates the comic book world, and Dion happens to be his main character in the comic book. Yeah.
And does Simon base himself off Dion? Like, does he put himself? Like, what he thinks?
A little bit, yeah. I would like to think that, because both Simon and Dion are Middle Eastern. So, yeah, I guess you can say that. He definitely was putting some of himself into Dion, as I put myself into both characters.
Dig it. Okay. And then as far as when it comes to like comic books, you say you're a fan of comic books. Mm-hmm. What style of comic book, or what genre, or if there's a specific like style, like story-wise that you're going for, like Marvel or DC or any other comic reference, like did you pull from anything? Did anything inspire you when it came to like the style or like the nuances of the story?
I would say in terms of Dion's character, I wanted to humanize him a little bit. So I did pull from Spider-Man. Because the way Stan Lee created Spider-Man, you know, he created this teenager who is very human in a sense, you know, like he has a normal life, mm-hmm. but he has struggles trying to balance his superhero life with his regular life, right? And so I kind of wanted to play off of that with Dion, because in the first episode, it's mostly him spending time with his family, as well as, you know, training, but like it's that balance that he's trying to go for, and it's kind of he's kind of stressed at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll see what I mean. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, Spider-Man was definitely an inspiration. But also like South Park, my favorite cartoon ever. I love over the top edgy humor, Rick and Morty as well, but I think South Park more so, because that I started with South Park. You know, growing up, I always watched South Park, and even around the time when the idea of Ninja Survive came to me, I think I was playing a video game called South Park: The Stick of Truth.
Great game,
amazing game, and the fractured butthole after that was awesome too.
Great sequel.
Yeah, expanded upon that whole RPG, you know, turn-based RPG. But I think mainly the humor element that inspired Ninja Survive. But the over-the-top action sequences, I would say maybe like Deadpool, Punisher. You know, I love Punisher. Punisher is one of my favorite comic book characters, I should say.
Mm.
But Deadpool for sure, because he's like, you know, he's over the top, action, comedy. He does everything. So, but yeah.
Dope, dude. Dope. Mm-hmm. All right. Ninja Survive. I won't ask any more then. That'll be enough for now, until like we can know more, and then we'll watch more and we'll talk more about it. Mm-hmm. So let's segue off to some more video game movie stuff. Have you seen anything? What's the latest thing you've seen that's got you buzzing, man? Anything got you buzzing? Playing? Oh. A lot of games have come out.
Yeah, I've been wanting to play God of War Ragnarok, but that I haven't played the first one in its entirety, so I gotta beat that first. So I'm gonna hold off on Ragnarok.
And that's probably gonna take you some time. Oh,
yeah, it's like 40 hours, 60 hours, something like that.
It's a good amount. Have you been listening to about what they've been saying about Elden Ring's DLC?
There's DLC for Elden Ring?
It's gonna be coming out, and already people are saying they're already predicting that the DLC for Elden Ring will be Game of the Year worthy.
What? So you're saying it's going to be like a standalone premium packaged video game?
It's going to be its own great experience. That's as far as I'm hearing it, that the DLC coming out for that game is going to be expanding and its own grand experience of its own, and I am so friggin' excited.
That's awesome.
Elden Ring sucked the life out of me, and I'm not mad about it. I want more. I want to suffer more. I enjoy it.
I think it might even win Game of the Year. It's definitely a contender for it.
And especially like with COVID hitting, people had battle royales. That's all we had to deal with and to like cope with during all this craziness in the world. And then here comes Elden Ring, who's like, hey, buddy, put down Breath of the Wild. Get away from Grand Theft Auto. Get away from Warzone. Come to Skyrim. Hey, look at that giant golden centaur thing. Go talk to it. You're dead. You're dead on your grave. Build yourself up. And it's like, all right, I guess I'm going to... Because I'm sick of games that hold my hand while I'm playing the game.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that that video that Ego Raptor, Aaron from Game Grumps? Do you know the Game Grumps?
I know the Game Grumps, but I'm not too familiar with people in it, work in it.
So Aaron is one of the main Game Grumps with Danny, right? And before Game Grumps, he was... Well, I think his handle is still Ego Raptor on YouTube. You might have that still, but... He was just Ego Raptor, and he made videos about video games. You know, just there was animation he would do and whatever. And one of the videos he did was on Mega Man X and why it's the cream of the crop when it comes to video games. It's so perfect and elegant and beautiful. And one of the main points he makes is that this game doesn't hold your hand. You're not playing the game and jumping, and all of a sudden here comes Mega Man, Mega Man, don't forget to press A to jump and do this to slide. No, the game, and that voice I made is from the video. So those,
really?
Yeah, that voice, like that's what Aaron does. Like he'll be like, he'll cut, like roll pops up and she's like, Mega Man, Mega Man, don't forget to press X to shoot your little buster. You can hold it and then you go, and he's like, shut up, let me play the game. And like Mega Man X doesn't do that. Mega Man X is like, you're going to learn through trial and error. Game design is, even the old school Mega Man games, they taught you through game design how to figure shit out. You know, like they were like, we're not going to write text on the wall and tell you how to do stuff. You're going to figure it out. Because a lot of games hold your hand. Elden Ring didn't hold your hand. Even Elden Ring, not Elden Ring, Elder Scrolls, Skyrim.
Elder Scrolls, right.
Not going to lie, Skyrim's compared to like Morrowind. Hold your hand. If you ever played Elder Scrolls Morrowind?
No, I can't say that I have.
Bro, this game, you want to do a quest? Cool, go ahead. There's no menu to tell you what your next quest is. You better have written that down or remembered it. Oh, you don't know where that is in the map? I hope you have a map on the side, because I don't, like, maybe there's one in the game, but it doesn't hold your hand. Like, Skyrim came about, and then you have, like, clairvoyance, a spell that tells you where to go and whatever. Maybe that was in Morrowind, but games nowadays hold your hand, and they don't, like, I feel like games don't have, they don't have faith in the player anymore, that they can overcome hardships. Mm-hmm. Like, Elden Ring didn't have a, hey, do you want to play this game in easy mode, medium mode, or hard mode? No. It was like, here's the game. Go. It's going to suck, but you can do it.
Yeah. One game that that definitely doesn't hold your hand. I think last time we kind of talked about the franchise, Silent Hill 2.
Ooh.
That game, masterpiece. Because every time you play it, the puzzles in that game change every time.
Wait,
so it's it's never the same, which is crazy to think. Like especially if you put it on hard riddle difficulty, it changes every single time. And you're just like, I can't even go online to like a guide or something to even get the answer, because it's randomized. And you kind of just have, it doesn't even tell you anything.
What kind of programming is that? That it has that kind of like randomized complexity to just like, I don't know. It's like, imagine playing Zelda Breath of the Wild. And every time you go into a new dungeon or something, it's a new puzzle. Every single time you go in, it's a new puzzle. So you can't go to like a strategy guide. You can't go online. Like you said, oh, that sounds terribly awful. I love it. That sounds great.
Right.
Wait, wasn't Silent Hill also the same game franchise that had the boss where you had to take out the controller? Was that
That's Metal Gear.
That's another your favorite, huh?
That's my favorite franchise of all time. I think Metal Gear Solid 1 did that, where you're fighting Psycho Mantis and he can actually read your memory card and tell you what game saves you have, which is insane. You're like, you've been playing Castlevania. And I'm like, what the hell? How do you know that?
Why don't games do that more? Why don't they utilize that more? That's so smart and creative, dude.
It is. And that's Kojima's mindset, you know, Hideo Kojima. I don't know if any other creator has done something similar to that. That when I was like playing, I'm like, is someone watching me? What the hell is going on? Because I was a little kid playing that. I'm like, damn, okay. And then you had to take out the controller port, put it into the second player to beat him because he read player one's controller inputs because you couldn't beat him like that.
You had to literally take it out of the player one and be like, is this right? Okay. Click.
And it doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you like you have to do that.
Again, no one's holding your hand, and you didn't have the internet back then. Maybe if you went to the library,
yeah, you
know, get some good DSL connectivity.
Yeah. Or like, I think they had like physical strategy guides, you know, back in the day. I used to buy those, but yeah, now everything's digital. So,
and even nowadays, even if they remade that first Metal Gear, how would they simulate that boss battle when controllers are wireless now?
That's true. Dang. I don't know.
It's wireless, so they wouldn't, like, how would you have that be unless they could program that villain to go into your system and turn off your controller, or have it so it seems that you have drift. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if it makes it seem that you have drift, so you have to use another controller and leave that one on? No, that'd be fucked up, because then you have to be expected to have two controllers.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Maybe you would just have to turn it off, and if the boss can't read it, then you're like, what is going on? I cannot read you. Oh, and then you turn it back on, and then like surprise attack. No, actually.
Maybe you have to go to the menu, like your PS menu or your PlayStation menu, your Xbox home menu. You have to go to your home menu, wait there for a few seconds, and then you come back into the game, and the villain's like, why am I confused? What was that? And you have to do... do you ever watch Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes, of course.
Do you remember season one when Yugi, at the end of Duelist Kingdom, when he was fighting Pegasus at the end, right? And Pegasus was reading his mind, just like this villain. Yugi had to do mind swap with his with Yami, right? So what if for this boss, you had to go... It might be absurd, but it'd be fun if they could program this. If to fight the villain and daze the villain to do damage, you had to go to your home screen, back to your home, and then go back into the game. Because a lot of games like Xbox has something called Quick Start. So you can literally have your console turn off, turn it back on, and then select the game, Quick Start's activated, and it's like you never left. It saved the state. So can you imagine?
It resumes from where you left off.
Right where you left off. Unless the game has some sort of online connectivity that you need to continuously do, then it'll stutter. But if you're playing like some single player adventure game, like I'm playing Sonic Frontiers right now.
I heard that's amazing.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's like, okay, look, it looks great. If you want to watch me, by the way, youtube.com/ Stephen Brown Cortez. Just, I don't even know if that's it, but go watch it. Shameless plug. It's beautiful. It looks great. But that's not something that's not been heard from a Sonic game, right? A lot of Sonic games have been looking great. Sonic Colors looked beautiful. Even that Werewolf Sonic game was dope. A lot of even Sonic Mania, they're all great. They all look great. But this game brings like has the environment and the atmosphere of, dare I say, almost a mix between Breath of the Wild and Skyrim. Of that calm ambiance, that realistic ambiance where you can hear the little creatures like in the background, you hear the wind, the music's nice, and it's not in your face when you're so the game is set up with the open world, the island, if you will, and that's like your, imagine if you're just in Elden Ring, you're just in the open world, right? And within the game there's these portals, and those take you to your different worlds to do your stages, right? Like a common Sonic game. But as you're going through the world, you're upgrading Sonic.
Whoa.
So people complained at first when they were playing the game, saying that Sonic's so slow. Why is he so slow? And he's slow. It's because he's at level 1. Level 1 out of 99.
Oh, damn.
Sonic has four levels that you see. It's not too complicated, the leveling up system for Sonic. Like, his move system is super simple. How to level up his moves and upgrade his moves are super simple and straightforward. And his leveling system is very straightforward. He has a leveling system for his speed, amount of coins he holds, and attack and defense. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you can upgrade those in different ways. After you leave the open world and go into a challenge level, the music hits up, dude. The music hits so hard. The music is just 10 out of 10. And the sound effects. Oh, I think that's what makes a good Sonic game are the sound effects. The rings, the little doing, you know.
Yeah. Although
very cartoony, but they fit so well in this realistic environment. Because, I mean, Sonic's still bright blue. He still has weird pupils and, like, his eyes connect, you know. But but you can see detailing of his hair now, you know. Mm-hmm. And that gives it a cool feel. But all that being said, just to say that, yeah, dude, Sonic Frontiers is beautiful. It plays well.
Yeah, and I think with the movie tie-in, it kind of, like, reinvigorated the Sonic franchise, you know? So, like, a lot of people were kind of saying that Sonic is, you know, becoming jaded as a series, and they wanted something new. And I think the movie helped, you know, bring fans back, so, which is awesome.
They almost shot it in the leg, though. They almost shot Sonic in the leg with that ugly Sonic.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Remember his teeth?
Oh, yeah. It looked a little too humanoid. It looked, yeah, very bad. But
it was weird.
I'm glad they went cartoony with it.
And that's what I'm a little worried about when it comes to, let's move now to the Mario movie. The new Super Mario movie, where, not going to lie, I don't know. People have beef with Chris Pratt, right? That Chris? There's a lot of Chris's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's why we need you in Hollywood, Sarkis, because there's no other Sarkis. I don't know any Sarkises. I only know you. I need
you.
That's it. But all these Chris's, fucking 10 Chris's in Marvel. Anyways, so Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt, he's coming in on Mario, dude. And, like, he just sounds like Chris Pratt. Like, like from New York, I guess. But I don't know. It kind of feels like an ugly Sonic moment where it's like, why are you trying to ground this cartoon so much?
Have you heard the fan theories?
Why? No.
So apparently people are assuming, I don't know if this is true, but they're saying that this Mario is not the real Mario. It's maybe someone who was transported from the real world into the Mario universe, and that's who this Mario interpretation is. That's why he sounds like that. And I want to believe that, but it's like, well, how many Marios are you going to have? You know what I mean?
We're going to have Mario Paint. We're going to have Dr. Mario. We're going to have Mario Metal Mario. We're going to have Chef Mario.
Yes.
It's going to be a multiverse of Marios.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, that theory sounds cool, but I feel like it's not Nintendo. It's Universal, right? Was it Imagine Studios? The same people who did, like, whatchamacallit?
What is it?
Groot and all them, Minions and stuff. Same studio, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I feel like they kind of went 90% on it. And I don't know what the story is, so I'm just, this is all assumptions, right? But I feel like they needed to really go balls to the wall, 100%. Let's go. It's a me, a Mario, you know? And just go for it. And like, okay, the Power Rangers movie, the latest one that came out years ago, right? I liked it. People can say shit about it. I don't care. I liked it. My favorite moment of the movie, my favorite moment where, like, the kid in me was like, rock and roll, baby, let's go, was when the Zords are running in the desert. It's always in the desert. They're running. And then you hear the Power Rangers theme song, the bum, 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 you know, and it's like campy and cheesy, but it powers you up, man. It, like,
hell yeah.
It, like, lights up those, like, little juices in your body and your brain. And I don't know. I hope they do that with Mario. I mean, Toad isn't a disappointment, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Keegan-Michael Key, I think that's awesome that he's voicing it.
Because you need a voice that's very out there and, like, can be very slightly annoying. You need...
Yeah. And Jack Black as Bowser, he nails it. He freaking, it's perfect.
Because of this, like, from what I saw, it's a musical. Like, Jack Black's going to be singing in this.
Wait, really?
That's what I heard. Like, he's going to be singing. Like, we're going to have, like, was this from Mario Odyssey? The Bowser with the white suit? Did you see that?
Yeah.
We might be getting that.
Oh, sick. Okay. I mean, Tenacious D, maybe?
Can you imagine if Kyle Gass was, like, a little dumb, like, a little, like, a Koopa?
Yeah.
No, I want Kyle to be the wizard. Kyle Gass should be the little wizard, but I don't know who they cast him as that. Oh, man.
But yeah, going back to Mario, dang it, what was I going to say?
Bring him back.
Yeah, I forgot. Never mind.
Fine.
what were we talking about just now?
We're talking about Mario. We're talking about Sonic. Sonic Frontiers. We're talking about animated movies.
After Mario, we went on a different subject.
Multiverse of Marios.
And then after that?
Chris Pratt.
No. After that? Nah, damn it. I lost it. Never mind. It'll come back to me.
Would you like to hear my Toad voice?
Sure.
All right. I got to back the mic up because I can get kind of loud.
Oh, damn. Okay.
All right. Because like with Toad, you have to be a little annoying with Toad. Okay. So ready? I'm going to close my eyes.
All right. Here goes.
Mario! It's me, Toad! Mario! Watch out! Uh-oh!
Oh, God, that hurts. But you have to be that with Toad, okay? So that's
dang.
What I appreciate. That's what I appreciate. What's-his-face's performance of Toad where he's like, don't touch that. Like, you have to have an annoying little voice for Toad because he's kind of a spaz.
Yeah. It came back to me. Okay.
Yes.
I'll take credit
for that.
If you saw the French version of the trailer that came out, the Super Mario movie, apparently the French voice actor who plays Mario is like exactly what people were expecting for Super Mario. So if you go check it out, it actually sounds like, you know, like he actually has that. So people were like, this is what we wanted, not freaking Chris Pratt doing a Brooklyn accent.
Like, do you think they'll listen? Like, do you think they'll listen the way the production company, the studio behind Sonic listened to the audience? Like, I hope they drag Chris's ass into the studio and go, I'm really sorry, Chris, but can you just give me a let's-a-go? Come on.
Yeah.
Give me one.
I would love that to be the situation, but I don't know. Maybe they're even playing with us. You know how the trailer doesn't show you everything? Maybe they're doing that on purpose to, like, I don't know. Because Chris even said it himself. He's like, you guys aren't expecting what I'm going to be doing for Mario. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. And then the trailer comes out. You're like, what the heck is this? So.
All right.
I don't know.
Just how Chris has faith in JC, I'll have faith in him. I'll see it. So hopefully it's good.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, I'm going to enjoy it no matter what. I'm the kind of person who I'm just happy they're making it. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed the original Super Mario Brothers movie, like the live action one.
Yeah, I kind of liked it too.
It was campy. Did they know what they were doing? No. Were they trying to make a film? Yeah. I don't know why, but they were trying to make a film.
John Leguizamo as Luigi. That was freaking awesome.
John Leguizamo as Luigi. Come on. And then what's his face? A British actor, mind you, right? Playing Mario? He's British, right?
Oh, was he British? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he's like British. Like when you hear him, like he talks like this and he's very proper. And wait, hold up. Time out. Mario, brother. Am I talking out of my butt? Bro, I don't want to be talking out of my butt. Not with you here.
So, wait. 1993. There you go. I'm looking it up too.
93.
Are you talking about Bob Hoskins?
Bob Hoskins. I swear I thought he was. Is he not? Is he American? I thought he was British. He's an English actor. He is.
Yep. You're right.
He's an English actor.
And then Dennis Hopper played Bowser. I remember that.
Dennis Hopper, the whole cast, honestly. And I had the biggest crush on Daisy. She was so badass out there. That's why I'm with Stephanie, because she likes to go into the sand and look for shiny shells, you know? I'm like, that's what Daisy likes to do. Perfect.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh,
but,
man.
But yeah, going back to video games that we were talking about, I think Oh, what I've been playing most is, I don't know if you've heard of it, Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. Let me
Yeah, I'm
get a
freaking
picture of
addicted to that game right
Ghost of
now.
Tsushima. Wait, I'm not gonna
Yeah.
voice that. I'm so sorry. I'm not. That's stupid. Ghost of Tsushima. Let me see. Oh, no wonder I haven't heard much of it. It's a PlayStation exclusive, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so no,
But
I haven't played this. What is it?
it takes place during the Mongolian invasion of Japan, like during the 13th century, I believe. And it's freaking amazing. Open world, and it's like you have to recruit your own samurai. Like after you get defeated, this is how the game starts. You get defeated and you have to recruit your samurai friends to, try and take over this castle. There's just so much. Oh, so good.
Wait, how many hours have you invested already?
So far I may be like 20, 25 hours in.
Solid.
I feel like I'm not even halfway there. Like it's a big game. And there's like maybe three sections of the island. I'm on like the main part of like the first third of it. And I'm just like, okay, act one isn't even done. But like maybe once I get to the castle part, then it'll open up the other parts of the island. And then there's an expansion on top of that. It's like, oh man, it's amazing.
And
But if you get a chance.
are you taking your time in the exploration
Oh
part of it?
yeah.
So that's why you're still in that like first chunk then. Okay, because there's like
Here's
probably collectibles and challenges and shit.
my problem. When it comes to open world games, I like to do the side quests before I do the main quests. I
So
like to do everything.
by the time you get to the first main quest, you're like level 30. You're like beefed
Yeah.
up. You're like, it's been great. It's been a great experience. The first boss, you're
Essentially.
like
Yeah, pretty much like it, but it's so fun exploring because there's so many different collectibles. There's like shrines that you get charms for. Like I know it's anyway.
That's dope. None so and the shrines and all the collectibles, are they all? Because like that's the thing with these video games, dude, that just amaze me. And I know each video game franchise, whether it's and I know I don't want to call out Call of Duty because those are I'm not thinking of those games, but I'm thinking of games like Ghost of Tsushima, like Elden Ring, like all those after software games, even Metal Gear, all these games. So much goes into these games. Let's not even like not even to touch about like the programming in like behind the game. Let's not talk about the graphics behind the game. Let's just talk about the lore behind games that's created. Let's talk about all the thought and work put into collectibles, because when it comes to collectibles in video games, and let me know if Ghost of Tsushima is like this, whenever you collect something, like say in Elden Ring or something or one of those games, you'll get the collectible and it'll have a description on it. Sometimes you'll have trophies where you can like zoom into these 3D like little objects that they've designed as a collectible, and they're pieces of artwork.
Yeah, for sure.
And it feels like a secret, because like why is no one else talking? Like, is that how you feel? Like, you're like, why is no one else talking about Ghost of Tsushima? The elections? Okay, that's great, but have you seen Ghost of Tsushima?
It is amazing. One of the best games I've played in the like last generation. 'Cause I still have a PS4, so.
Dude, and I hear PS4 still hold up really well, even at the because like PS5, and this goes also just for Xbox Series X. I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking trash on PlayStation, but a lot of games on like PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, they're not fully harnessing the power of the systems like they said they would. Not
Yeah.
yet. Not yet.
Yeah,
Like,
absolutely.
I saw God of War Ragnarok running on a PC on ultra settings. Well, actually, this is actually going to speak in favor of PlayStation, and I don't know. I wonder if this is on purpose. So they were running Ragnarok, God of War Ragnarok, on a PlayStation 5, and then they were running it on a PC on max settings.
Yeah.
If you were to guess who had the better visuals, who would you guess? PC max settings or PlayStation 5?
PC, hands down. But no?
No.
They did it on purpose
The
then.
PlayStation 5 had better graphics, and yeah, dude, I had that same thought. How does the PC on max graphics not look as good as the PlayStation 5's graphics? And I'm thinking it has to have been on purpose.
Either it's on purpose or maybe they didn't have enough time to optimize it. Because I feel like they were focused more on the PlayStation version of it. Because the PC versions are always an afterthought. Like, they always focus on the console version, I feel like. And then later on, I don't know, did the PC version come out simultaneously with PS5 version?
I don't think so. Like, even with Spider-Man, right? With PlayStation Spider-Man, that's out on PC now, but that came out like a year, two years now. Like, I don't even know how long these are, but how old is not Ragnarok, but how old is the latest God of War? Do you know?
The new one that just came out, or
not Ragnarok, because that's like
the one before it.
Yeah, the one before it.
2018.
Yeah, see, that's like not an old game, but like it's 4 years old, and I think it just got onto PC maybe last year.
Yeah. I heard about that, and I think they're even talking. Yeah, I think they're even talking about bringing Ghost of Tsushima to PC, but like it takes a year or two to make the PC version, I feel like, because they're so focused on the console version. But I like that they're bringing console exclusives to PC now, so everyone can get a chance to play these games, you know? I love PlayStation, but like, I love when people get to play PlayStation games too. It's not just, and I love Xbox games too. Like, I play Halo Infinite on my PC, so.
Oh, we gotta team up, please.
Oh, hell yeah, let's do it.
I'm still one of the few players still playing. Everyone's like, nah, it's broken, it sucks. And I'm like, you're broken. You should go to therapy. Leave the game alone.
Heck yeah. No, yeah. I feel like fanboys are just too sensitive. But anyway.
God, I was gonna go off what you were just saying right now, but then that got me on another tangent that I lost my last thought. I said, fuck that train. This one.
Yeah.
fuck, I'd have to pee too. Jesus, what were... Ghost of Tsushima. Oh, it was about PlayStation. Oh, so something I was thinking, maybe it's not that they did it on purpose when it comes to PC graphics versus PlayStation graphics, you know, with the imports. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe it's that God of War on PlayStation, because the PC version is the afterthought, naturally, mm-hmm. because it's a PlayStation game. It was made for a PlayStation.
Right.
The reason why the graphics look better on a PlayStation 5 is because that game was made for that console. And when they made it for the PC, I'm sure it had to go through a whole process to be able to port it onto a PC, because I don't know, like, the processing system of a PlayStation, I'm sure, is not the same as the processing system of a PC.
Yeah.
They work differently. Like, you're not just running the game off PlayStation, you're probably running it off of, what is it, Epic Game Store or Steam. Mm-hmm. It's going to run differently, right?
Yeah.
So I'm maybe thinking maybe that's why, because maybe through the transferring process from PlayStation to PC, they were like, well, you can't take everything just yet. Maybe we'll have an update later on and we'll give you, you know, here's the next layer of graphics. Here are the next mm-hmm. layers. Okay, here you go. Here's a 20 gigabyte update.
20 gigabyte, yeah. On launch day, especially when, like, you get Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, it's like a 120 gigabyte patch. You're like, what the hell?
What? That's a slap in the face. Why did I stand in line?
Yeah, did you hear that? I love physical media, so I get the disc versions of games. Mm. I got Modern Warfare 2 on a Blu-ray disc, and guess how much data was on the disc?
Oh, I heard it was like megabytes, right?
72 megabytes.
What kind of bullshit is that?
You have to download the whole freaking game, and it's like 113 gigabytes.
Why are you using a Blu-ray disc then?
Yeah, where it can hold up to 50 gigabytes. Are you kidding me?
I don't know what's going on anymore with video games. I don't know what's going on because, yeah, I miss those days of like the original Modern Warfare 2. I think I have pictures of that midnight release, dude. That was an epic mm-hmm. midnight release. You had people camping out in front of the GameStop, lined up until, you know, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. day, night of. People brought mm-hmm. TVs. They're playing Modern Warfare 1 or Black Ops, whatever the previous one was. And then, boom, doors open up. You get your game. You say bye to your friends. I'll see you online. It's maybe 1 in the morning. Maybe you have school the next day. And you're like, boys, I'm on. No update. No downloading shit. You just put the disc in and you're playing your game.
Absolutely.
Not anymore. You have to get your game and it's like, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. I have to update it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it seems as though publishers, video game publishers and studios are kind of favoring the digital market more so nowadays because, like, if you notice, there was a vault edition of Modern Warfare 2, but the physical version just had the standard, oh, you get a steel book, here you go. I guess it's a collector's item, but oh yeah, and 72 megabytes on this disc. So I mean, look, what do the physical people get?
Yeah, gaming, I mean, it's we're living in a weird time. We're definitely living in a weird time where media is changing and transmuting constantly. Because speaking of physical media versus like digital streaming movies now, like people are streaming more, but they're not buying more DVDs. Like, I think it was Matt Damon who explained why the movie industry is slowly dying and why it's hard to make films like Good Will Hunting, why it's hard to make films like, like the like those like Scent of a Woman, like those types of films where it's not a fucking Marvel film, it's not backed by like crazy special effects, it's just a film about a story, right? Just a day in the life, if you will. A lot of those movies survived financially by DVD sales after theater releases. I mean, movies like a lot of Kevin Smith movies didn't find life until after the theater, and then people, it became a cult following. People bought DVDs and fell in love. That's not happening now because people are like, I mean, Target is getting rid of their DVD section soon, I heard.
No, really?
I think they're getting rid of it, dude.
Oh, man.
And I heard this editor on TikTok talk about how if you think streaming is going to be just as good as a physical copy of a movie, like a Blu-ray disc, you don't know what you're talking about. Because they said, like an editor was saying that, like, this is a person, this is, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they were saying that when you're streaming something, at most with a good connection, 30 mega, it was a 30 megabit speed or whatever, like, was it 30 megabits when it comes to how the media is processed, right? When you have a DVD, I think it's like 200, 140, like the
Oh, dang.
how well, like how well the movie is processed and played is so much better on a physical disc. Like it's the when you're streaming something, the movie you're watching, the application you're using has to constantly has to constantly work with or against lag, work with or against your connection. Like you're watching a movie and then it goes all pixelated because I don't know, a cloud's over your house now, you know? It's it I don't know. I kind of I hope we go back to physical media. I mean, I don't know if that does anything to pollution and, the environment, but records are coming back. I don't know.
But like say like you said, like every time I watch Netflix and I want to rewind it, sometimes when I rewind it, it just stops playing and takes me out to the menu. I'm like, what just happened? Like I thought technology was supposed to be good, but not always.
It's convenient, not
It
better.
is. Yes.
It's convenient because I have a friend Woo. Shout out Woo. He's not a Spotify fan. He's a what's that other service? Tidal. He's a Tidal user.
Title. I've never even heard of that.
Tidal.
Title.
And the difference between Tidal and Spotify, I hear, is that Tidal plays like the master recording of a song.
No way.
I have to pee so bad. Give me a
Okay,
sec. We're
no
gonna do a quick
worries.
pause. I'm gonna pee. Give me a sec. We're just gonna pause.
Do
I'll be
your
back.
thing, player.
I feel like a new man.
Hell yeah, you're reborn him, brother?
Oh my God, yeah. Like that whole time we're talking about video games. I felt like I was about to have a heart attack. It was
Oh
great.
no. It was
No, it was
great.
great. I felt alive. Now I feel lighter than air.
Oh damn. That's the best feeling.
And I brought up the stats really quick just because I didn't want to talk out of my butthole. So, because I never want to do that. Okay. So we're talking about Blu-rays versus like, streaming something versus an actual Blu-ray disc. So when you stream something, the most it'll give you is like, 10, 20, 30 megabits. Yeah, who are the? Yeah, 20, 10, 20, 30 megabits, right? Blu-ray though, a Blu-ray, the data rate for a Blu-ray, 50 gigabytes will be at 72 or 92 megabits per second. A 66 gigabyte or 100 gigabyte Blu-ray goes at 92, 123, or 144 megabits per second.
Damn.
So, no, streaming a movie does not compare to a Blu-ray.
No, it does
not. And
it
never will. Unless we start using, like, cancer-causing 8G internet, like...
Oh, God.
It's like, until we can feel, like, the signal going through our body when we play a movie. Yeah. Like, oh, God, oh, the Matrix is in me.
Yeah.
I need guns. I love Neo. Yeah, it's never going to be as good. But so I'm right there with you. I appreciate physical copies of things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think we talked a little bit about this on the last time I was on this podcast, where PT, the playable teaser for the Silent Hills game that never actually happened, was only digital, and Konami took it off the PlayStation store, and nobody is able to get that. The only way you can get it now is if you had previously downloaded it. There's no preservation of that title at all. Mm-hmm. And that was one, like, praised as one of the best horror experiences that you could play. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, at least bring it back, maybe charge us a little something. I would purchase it. You know?
We all would. Like, if we care about something, like, you won't make billions, but I don't know. It's just, it's very exhausting. It's all money. It's all bullshit. They don't care about making art, because it's not about that. It's just about making money. I mean, the creators do care about art, you know, like the heads of these games and these stories, but the heads of the production studios, their number one thing is just money. But hey, it's okay.
It's okay. That's why we make our own shit, man.
It's okay, man. Hey, I learned how to code a little bit, man. I'm going to get a little bit better. I'm making an app, okay?
Oh, snap. Dude, okay, look at you.
Straight up, though. Let me show you. Shout out to freaking... Okay, so fun little story time. It's the beginning of COVID.
Okay.
Your name is Steven Brogan Cortez, and you don't know what to do. You have played a lot of Warzone, and you want to learn a new skill, because everyone's talking about learning these skills during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you stumble on these commercials for something called Code Illusion. That was something that was, it was like a program to learn how to code, a learning program to learn how to code that was created by Disney with another company called Life is Tech. Mm-hmm. And bro, this was my book to learn how to code.
This what? Thing,
it's flipped right now, but like, check this out. Ready? Oh, Jesus.
No, actually, I can read it fine.
This is what I use to code, man. So, like, it comes with all these... Look, the art, first off, the art is insane. Let's go. Let's do a little story time. So, here's... Oh, chapter one. Hold up. Chapter one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hold up. You got to see, because it has parts for notes. And, like, it has all these... It's made for kids and adults, or adults who are kids. So, it has all these puzzles and shit to show you stuff. And, like, I got a certificate, so it's, you know, it's legit. And then you do your notes for all your different, like, formulas and shit.
Dude, and that's awesome.
The way it teaches you how to code is by mini games. And it has your screen. Okay, it has your screen, like, divided up. So on one side of your screen, you have your instructional panel. And that gives you the instructions for the assignment you're working on. Below that, you have your control panel, and that's where you put in all your programs, all the code, and that's where you put it all in. And then there's the display portion of the screen where it shows you your code being displayed. So whether you're running HTML, whether you're watching, whether you're doing CSS, Java, it taught you those three, dude. And it was a good way to spend my time. Cool. I gotta definitely just practice more.
That's so cool, dude. That congratulations. Thanks, man. That's a really cool achievement.
Dude, it was, I wanted to feel like I did something, because I tried to learn Korean and I got distracted and I just, annyeonghaseyo, you know, and then I forgot everything else. But coding, I wanted to learn a little bit, even to just make an app, like just a silly app and call it the Why the F Not app. And it's an app that you put a question in and it'll be like, type in your idea. Make sure it's not one that hurts you or anyone else around you. I really feel like I have to preface that. Mm-hmm. Put your idea in, and you'll put in, my idea is to write a story about my dog. And you submit it, and then it just tells you, Hey, why not? It's just an app that tells you why not. So that's why I have to preface, make sure you're not hurting anybody with your idea, okay? But as long as you're not hurting anybody, have fun. That's my app. Why not? Sure. That sounds good. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like an eight ball kind of thing, but where it just gives you one answer.
Just says, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, why not? That's cool, man. Yeah, I mean, coding, there are so many different coding like applications, even on the phone. I don't know. Did you use a PC to do that coding?
So when it came to Code Illusion, the learning program, it was all web-based. It was all on a web browser. That was the best part. All there.
Okay.
And then when it came to learning how to how to create an app or how to do that sort of work, I actually looked into another program that helped you. I think it was on YouTube, but like step by step how to use. Let me see, where is it? Not that one. I thought it was there. It's not there anymore. Never mind. It's like some Android. Android has like a dedicated application or program for your computer to make programs. So they have a dedicated program that's like your sandbox, your workstation. So they made it stupid easy to do it, but you just got to learn the language. That's all, literally nice. That's all coding is language, a different language.
Right.
But
computer processing language. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you don't practice it, you lose it. Like Spanish. If I don't speak Spanish for a while, my tongue gets stuck. I forget words. Like any language, you need to practice it so you can stay sharp. And with coding, they're always adding new shit.
Yeah. I mean, yo no tengo bicicleta. That's about the only Spanish I know.
You were so serious delivering that. You're like, oh, well, Steven, you know, I hear you, but like, yo no tengo bicicleta.
I took 3 years of Spanish. A little bit has stuck with me, but not enough to get by.
You got to practice it, you know, just to keep your tongue, like as weird as that sounds, you need to keep your tongue trained.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually studied Japanese for like 3 months before going to Japan, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I used this Duolingo app. And it was so friggin', I'm not even like, I know you're not sponsored by them. I'm just like giving a shout out to Duolingo, but it's so easy. It's like you said, like, you know how you play mini games for your coding? It's like playing mini games, but with different language. And it's so fun. You're like placing things. It's fun. So I know how to say like, Otera wa doko desu ka? You know, like, what does that mean? You're wondering. What does that mean?
I don't know. What does it mean?
Where's the restroom?
You got the important stuff down. I see you took the important stuff down.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Sumimasen means like, excuse me, you know. Achira desu ka? This way, you know.
Use code NINJASURVIVE now to get 25% off on Duolingo. No, you won't get 25% off.
No.
But come on, Duolingo. You don't have to sponsor the podcast, but you can sponsor Ninja Survive.
That would be dope.
Come on, Duolingo. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you.
Do it.
You know you want to. Anyways, I want to keep talking about video games with you. I want to. Hope you don't mind.
Let's do it, man. I love it.
I want to talk to you about what I'm excited about, if you don't mind. Right now, Sonic Frontiers has my heart. I haven't touched Gotham Knights because everyone's saying it's worse than Gotham. I mean, was it Batman Arkham Asylum and all those Arkham games? Like, and I looked at it. And again, I'm a person, I love to enjoy content. I do. I couldn't give this game a pass.
No, really? You actually played it though?
I didn't play it. I didn't want to play. Even looking at it, I saw a direct comparison to the last Arkham game. And it's a downgrade. It's a serious downgrade. The game mechanics seem what's the word? Not downgraded or sloppier, but they seem way more rudimentary than the complexity that was the previous Batman Arkham games with that combat system. Like, this one's cool, and it's a cool concept, and the story's cool. Like, I'm interested in the story. The story seems pretty dope. Like Batman's gone, the Court of Owls is like the bad guy or something, but then you have Harley Quinn like kicking ass too. So the game story looks top notch. Mm-hmm. But the graphics, I don't know. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I heard it's not even running at 60 frames per second. Like, how is that possible in today's, like, the generation that we have now with, like, all these crazy consoles?
I'm guessing that maybe it's that production studios for video games are pushing games out too early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're pushing it out too early, and then we're getting these, oh, free update, huh, new maps. You mean the rest of the game, Mario
right.
Golf? I'm looking at you, Mario Golf. Waited a whole 3, 5, 6 months for the rest of the game to be available. Like that. I would much rather. Like, who was it? Was it Starfield? No. Was that's the latest Bethesda game? I think mm-hmm. Starfield. I think they announced that the game's release date was going to be pushed because they were working on the game. And it's like, yeah.
That's what that means, yeah.
Yeah, go fix the game. Like, don't release the game broken. Don't release the game unfinished. Mm-hmm. But a lot of studios, I feel like that's what's happening. The games are coming out unfinished. The games are coming out incomplete. So yeah, like Cyberpunk. Ugh.
Oh man.
I tried.
Talk about a bad launch.
I tried to like that game, dude. It looked great. It the story seems dope. The concept seemed great. But when the game keeps crashing on you and you can't play it, it's like, well, I'm not going to choke on this forever.
Yeah.
I'm setting a boundary.
I'm sure it's fixed by now, though, right? Like, it's been, what, 2 years since that came out?
I mean, yeah. And I've tried to play it again on my Xbox with the
Really?
Updates.
It's still?
It's not glitchy or anything. I mean, I guess they fixed it. I don't know. It's just... Okay. Story time. My first gameplay of Cyberpunk, on and off. I was playing it would glitch out on me, I put it away. Mm-hmm. And then I finished it, I finally thought, let me just get back to it. I just finished Elden Ring, let me re-download the game, install it, my file is saved, my game state, my status of the game is still there, cool. I got to the game, I played through the story, and apparently the game has more than one ending, which is cool, but the ending I got was that my character just kills himself. And I'm like, what? I didn't even see it coming. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I'm like, what? I killed myself. Wait.
What?
What?
Not that that's funny. It's just like, what? How does that happen? Why does that happen?
Honestly, I don't know if it was that I wasn't paying attention enough to the story, but the moment where my character killed himself felt so out of nowhere. Like, I didn't even have a choice to say no. I didn't even have the choice to say, like, no, I want to live. Like, no, the virus, like, whatever the reason is. And, like, Keanu's there. And I'm like, all right, I guess it's okay to go since you're here, Keanu. But,
like, were you making choices that made your character seem more depressed and maybe, like...
I try to make good choices in these games. I try to make good choices. I try to respond well to people. I don't try to be an asshole, but I don't know. I guess he was an asshole.
Maybe that's the game's way of telling you that you were too nice and that you were offering too much of yourself and weren't happy. I don't know. Theory, I guess.
Sarkis, I wasn't ready for that kind of insight right now, man. I wasn't ready for that kind of insight right now.
I feel like, yeah, sometimes you have to say no, right?
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I'm just not one of those reckless types in video games, you know, who's like the craziest thing. I like to keep some sort of, not realism, because it's a game, it's not real, I understand that, but I like to give myself over maybe 10%, 20% of myself over to believe it's real.
Yeah, you know? I absolutely agree, yeah.
To give my choices weight.
Yeah, for sure, like Red Dead 2, I my honor level was like so, like, max positive, so I never wanted to be the evil person in that. So anytime I do play a game, I always play the good guy. Like, even at the end of Black Ops 2, I don't know, did you play that game?
Yeah, such a good game.
So the ending of that, you can choose to either arrest the villain or you can kill him. I was like, well, I'm not gonna kill the guy. I want to be, like, you know, a good person. I'll arrest them and they could do whatever they want. And I find out the villain like breaks out of prison a year or two later and then kills one of the best characters in the series. I'm like, what the hell?
That's why I popped that fool the second I got the chance to.
Yeah. Dang.
Bye.
It.
Good night. I'm just kidding. I don't remember. You're a good person, Sarkis. Never forget that. You're a good person.
Likewise, sir.
Dude, have you heard of, I believe it's High on Life, the game?
I'm so excited for that. Oh my God.
Dude.
Yes.
For those that don't know, High on Life, it's the creators of Rick and Morty, right, making mm-hmm. the game. And they made one beforehand. I didn't play
a few, actually.
They made a few? Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm so out of the loop. I thought they made one.
There's accounting. There's Trover Saves the Universe, which I'm playing that a little bit right now. That one can be played in accounting and Trover Saves the Universe can be played both in VR. There was another one I think they had. I forget, but yeah, they've had a few games, and if you check out their website, Squanch Games, they'll show you like all their titles and stuff. But High on Life, oh my God, I cannot wait.
It looks great. Like it's a game that doesn't have realistic graphics, but mm-hmm. it just goes to show you don't need that to have a fun game.
Yeah.
I know this isn't real. I don't want to, mm-hmm. Don't trick me that it's real. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
If I want guess what? It's there.
Yeah. And the fact that the guns talk to you and there's that Rick and Morty humor and you're just like, I can't help but fall in love with what I'm seeing, but I'm excited. When is that coming out? December?
December.
Oh, man.
Okay, do you have Xbox Game Pass? This isn't a plug or a sponsorship. Xbox Game Pass, if you want it, come talk to me. But it's going to be available on Game Pass for free.
I don't have it. I don't have Game Pass, but I was thinking if it's going to come out on the Microsoft Store, I can get it, or Xbox Store. Because mm-hmm. I like to, I don't know, I like to purchase the full game and support the developers as well.
Sarkis,
if there was like physical...
Guy. You're just a good guy, dude. You're just a good guy.
Oh, thanks, man. But like, I really want to, like, if there was a physical version of that game for PC, because I know I can't play it on PlayStation and I don't have an Xbox. So I would like
PC
to purchase
would be
that.
The main. You brought up like the steel books and like, I mean, okay. If you bought Modern Warfare 2 on like for your PlayStation 5?
I don't have a PS5 yet because I know there's going to be a PS5 Pro. So I'm waiting on that. I have a PS4 Pro, though.
But you bought your copy of Modern Warfare 2 for PS4?
Yes, and it's a cross-gen bundle, so it does come with the free digital version of PS5.
Nice, nice. They're both digital, let's be real.
Yeah, technically, digital. Yeah, exactly.
It would be so dope and worth it if you went out of your... Like, oh God, this would be a way to incentivize people to go back to stores. But I don't know why they want to go digital. But it'd be so cool if they brought back the cool add-ons that come with pre-ordering a physical copy. You know? I remember back in the day, you would get something special from pre-ordering a game. Like, even if it's a Pokemon game, Call of Duty, whatever it was back in the day, you'd pre-order it. You'd get to GameStop. Or depending on where you were, the GameStop, the Target, they had something specific for their store as like a mm-hmm. little gift. But you would get something, or you can pay extra and buy some commemorative piece.
Right. Right. And that's what I was expecting out of like Modern Warfare 2's really. But it was just a steelbook. There wasn't even like any in-game, like, I don't know, add-on stuff. But the Vault Edition, that's where it's at. You know, you pay $100 and you get all this stuff. 50-tier skip for the season pass when the Warzone 2 comes out.
Dude, I bought Modern Warfare 2 and I returned it after a week.
Really?
Only because don't make me feel bad and maybe get it again.
No, I'll get it back for you
because I've been because like here's the thing, like I'm not so heavily invested in multiplayer games, or at least I feel like you really need, like, from my perspective at least, I need a crew. I need friends to play these games
yes.
with.
Absolutely.
I can't play these games and just go into these sweaty lobbies and have all these people just make me feel terrible about myself. Like,
the toxic voice chat is back.
Oh, dude, I'm
it's
in my
so
party.
Back.
I'm in my party all the time. Oh, I don't listen to anybody. I don't listen to anybody because then I just get triggered and I'm like, oh, I'm back in high school. I don't like this anymore. Yeah. I need my friends. I need my friends to help me out and be there for me. But I tried playing the story. The story was fun. I was playing that on Veteran and it was kicking my ass. But
oh yeah,
that was a fun time because that's why I play Call of Duty, first off. Mm-hmm. Like I never got the games because of the multiplayer like everyone else. Like I was a Black Ops fan because of zombies. I love the story and I love zombies. Do you remember? I think it was Black Ops 2, dude. Like when you got like some cool bundle or whatever, like the physical copy. I remember one year they gave away these. It was like a juggernaut soda, like mini vending machine.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. It was like a slushy thing, right?
Yeah.
Was that a slushy thing?
Yeah. It was so cool, dude. Like, they don't do that anymore.
No, no.
Or, like, they would give away medals. Like, they would have, like, the actual medals from the game or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm sure they have the money for it. I mean, just this Modern Warfare 2 made, what was it, $800 million in, like, the first week?
Oh.
Like, and come on, bro.
Is that just on, like, sales, like, immediate game sales? Or does that include, like, microtransactions?
I don't know, actually. I think it's based on just sales, though.
Because who knows what that number is for microtransactions, because that's how they're getting you now.
Yeah. And the fact that, I mean, you're kind of right in that Modern Warfare 2 wasn't shipped as a full game in a way. Like, because Prestige isn't there, the campaign, although somewhat fun, it wasn't optimized, at least for the PS4 version. At least the PS4 Pro version.
What do you mean, like, it wasn't optimized?
Like, the cutscenes would have texture pop-ins for the main characters' faces. So you would like approach Captain Price for a moment, and all of a sudden, Captain Price is not even, he's speaking, but his lips aren't moving. It's just a big polygon face. So what are we gonna do? I'm like, what is going on?
Come on.
It's not a polished game, and you can tell Activision rushed it to make it their target deadline or whatever, but yeah, it sucks. But
how do you release the game without Warzone? How do you release the game advertising this Vault edition with 50 tier skips when Warzone comes out? When it comes out, what do you mean? Like,
yeah,
why didn't you wait and release them together at the same time? I don't know.
And on top of that, they're actually pausing Warzone 1 for a whole week just so people, like, they can push Warzone 2. See what they're doing? They're like, oh yeah, we're gonna take Warzone 1 off the offline. But I'm like, you have the money to run both servers, I'm sure. Like, why not just leave them both up? I don't know.
You know what this feels like? Have you seen Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. Yes.
You remember what's his face? Taika Waititi's character and like that whole story arc with the company?
Yep.
Like, that's what's happening with not just Call of Duty, but with Overwatch. Have you heard of, like, with Overwatch 2, what's going on with that? Do you play that by any chance?
I've played a little bit of it, yeah.
Bro, if you need a teammate, I got you. I'm a support
Let's
class.
Let's do it.
Love Overwatch. I just got into it, but I never played the first one. And I have heard a lot of people that played the first one were so pissed when the second one came out.
Oh, because it replaced the first one, right? Yeah.
It replaced the first one. You had to, I don't know, like, they said that, like, the skins that were in Overwatch 1 were valued at, like, $12,000.
What?
Yeah. The skins that were available in Overwatch 1 are valued at, like, $12,000 if you want to get them in Overwatch 2. So, like, it's wild. And then okay, now we go to Warzone, right? The reason why I got really bummed out about Call of Duty 2, Modern Warfare 2, is that I was hoping that my skins from Warzone, my skins from Cold War, could transfer over.
But no.
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 Like, I would love a game. Like, I don't know if this is the future of gaming, but maybe we're going to stop at one point with the yearly releases of games, with the 2022 version of Call of Duty, the 2023, 2024. No. Maybe it'll be just like Fortnite, where it's just you have a game And we're going to add on to it, add on to it, add on to it, and add on to it. We're going to make it grow and grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And we're going to support the players. We're going to support the community. And it's going to be a very virtuous environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Blizzard just said, no. Because, yeah. Oh my God, it just clicked, obviously. Overwatch and Modern Warfare 2, same company.
That's true. You're right.
It's the same company.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, you're right.
It just goes to show you how money hungry Blizzard has become.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Maybe things are hard right now for the video game industry. Maybe they have to do this kind of shit to survive. I don't know. But I mean, we've been hearing how in the movie industry with like animators and visual effects artists, special effects artists, like in Marvel movies, how they're being overworked and underpaid. Who knows what it's like for the video game industry for those special effects artists?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much money they have or like how much money they get paid or I don't know. I don't know if they get paid in like stock options for the game or if they get a percentage back. But I don't know. They seem very money hungry.
For sure. And now, like, I feel like everyone's obsessed with that. What is it? Microsoft purchasing Activision. Like, everyone's talking about that. But I'm like, you know, I feel like I know PlayStation fans might be upset, but as a PlayStation fan myself, I'm like, well, it wouldn't make sense for Microsoft to make it console exclusive to Xbox, especially if there's so many PlayStations out there. In fact, I feel like there's more PlayStations out there than Xboxes, if I'm not mistaken. Phil Spencer, the Xbox CEO, he even said it himself, like, we're going to keep it on PlayStation no matter what. It's just business-wise, it doesn't make sense for them to make it console exclusive. But however, if they make it an Xbox Game Pass game, like day one release every year, that's a big win for them, for all Xbox players. So I feel like that's ultimately what it's going to come down to, is subscription-based gaming at the end of the day. How am I trying to say this? Is it going to be successful at the end of the day? Right now, it seems like it is for Xbox, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to continuously pay for a subscription if I might not use that service at all times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like money from the bank that they're just withdrawing constantly. I can pay $60 and I'll keep that game forever. I won't have to keep paying. But
I'll play devil's advocate to your thoughts right now. I want to play devil's advocate because I totally get it. But then how about the side of like you buy a game nowadays, and even a game now, AAA game for like Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5, they're not $60 anymore. $70.
Yeah.
Like $70 now. Some games are getting pretty pricey, and that's why in my mind, subscription-based gaming makes sense. Especially for like, I don't know, if there's a game that I truly love and that I'm connected to and I want to buy it, and like you said, right, support the creators and all that stuff, you have the option, right? You have the option. But when you have a subscription-based model and you have this giant library to look over, especially with Xbox's cloud gaming, you don't even have to install the game to try it anymore. You can just play it off the cloud, see how you like it, and then install it. Or install the game, play the story, you had a great time, uninstall it, next game. And you didn't pay the full $60. You just paid your $15 a month that just, you know. And the way I see it, if I play four games that are $60 AAA titles within that Game Pass umbrella, I'm like, all right, it's doing its job. You gotta love video games though. You gotta love video games if you want the subscription.
Yeah, for sure. And I used to buy a lot of video games. Like, I've definitely cut my purchases maybe by half over the course of these last few years.
So like $2,000-$3,000 a year now.
It used to be, like every new game that came out, I would buy it as it launched, right? But now it seems like, well, I mean, it looks like a great game, but I'll wait for it to go on sale kind of thing. You know, like that's the way I see it. Especially like I love physical media and I have a huge collection. It just keeps piling up. But yeah, it's a very appealing idea, the Xbox Game Pass, for sure. I mean, I have the PC, so I mean, I could definitely play Xbox games on my PC too. And that's so appealing. Like Halo Master Chief Edition. I'm like, hell yeah, give it to me. But at the end of the day, I feel like so much content. Like I know I'm not going to get to it. Like my Steam library, I've bought so many games that I still haven't played today. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't want to add more to what I'm already playing for other subscriptions like Netflix, Amazon Prime, and all this, and PlayStation Plus with their new tiers. I'm not even going to go into the different tiers they have, but yeah, there's so much out there.
You could be a video game, like a gamer, and pick one franchise to dedicate yourself to, and you will be fulfilled. Like, that's how much video game content there. You could be a Halo fan, and there is plenty for you to dive into and get obsessed with.
Yeah.
Plenty.
Absolutely.
You like Call of Duty? Plenty get lost in there.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty get lost in there. You like more adventure? Like, you want a Assassin's Creed? One game will take you a year, maybe more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, it's there's so much shit to consume nowadays. And yeah. Only so much time to do it in. You have to accept that you have to make, at least I've accepted, I have to make sacrifices. I might not play that game. I might not, like, the one sacrifice I've accepted full-heartedly is PlayStation games, is that I might not play those, you know?
Yeah.
I can't be resentful. I can't be all pissy and be like, oh, PlayStation sucks. No, it's just that I might be sad that I can't enjoy Spider-Man, you know, Miles Morales with everyone because I don't have a PlayStation, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like that's just how the cookie's going to crumble sometimes,
yeah.
You know, and that's how it's going to end up with video gaming, where we're going to have our sides. We're going to have Microsoft and PlayStation. I mean, we had Nintendo and Sega, Atari tried to hang on for so long.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft came in, Sony came into the picture, you know, the Sega tried to stay as long as they could with the Dreamcast and,
Sega,
dude, like, there's so much that could happen with video games, but if we end up having just PlayStation and Microsoft as our main two camps, but that's even impossible because then we still have Nintendo, which I feel could live on its own means for as long as they want, just because where else are you going to play Mario?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and there's...
Sorry, I was just going to say that Nintendo is proof that if you have IP that is yours only in your console, it can sustain you.
Oh, and, for sure.
And I don't know if you heard about Bethesda, but Microsoft owns Bethesda too.
Yeah.
And the new Skyrim or the new Elder Scroll might be an Xbox exclusive.
Oh, shiznit. Really?
And is that troublesome for some people on PlayStation? Sure. Sure. Mm. But when you look at Microsoft, they're like, cool, we cut off PlayStation. That's a lot. Yeah. But we still have Xboxes. We still have all the PCs in the world to want to play this. If you want to play it, it's out there. And I feel like if they hunker down, they could own it and just be like, we're going to do it. Because I don't know. We just started seeing God of War on PC. We just saw Spider-Man on PC. But we're never going to see Sly Cooper on PC. I mean, not on PC. We're never going to see Sly Cooper on Xbox. We're never going to see Miles Morales on Xbox. And I mean, there's not an army of Xbox people being like, nah, we want it. Fuck you, PlayStation. No, we just accept it. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
You play Halo on an Xbox and you play Spider-Man Miles Morales on a PlayStation.
Yeah. That's, pretty much how it is. And there's always going to be sides, of course, to every... to every coin, there's at least two sides, right?
Yes, sir.
At least, the coin in my head has like 17 sides, but it's all good.
That's an interesting coin.
Yeah, right.
I think it's become a ball at that point.
Right, exactly.
It's like a ball. Oh, dude, I need more weed. Okay, I'm gonna take us into the next segment of the show. I think it's a good time since we're, let me see, almost an hour and a half in.
Oh snap!
Yeah, it's a good time. Let's see. Now that we have video for the podcast, I want to redo your 10 questions.
Okay.
And yeah, let's have a little fun with it, my dude. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. Question one is, what is your favorite word?
Ooh. Last time I said espionage, but this time I'll change it up. I think I will say, I like, oh God. I think I'm gonna go with shart. Again, like I said on the last podcast, I like the more playful words. So I'm gonna go with shart. I like shart.
Nice. Solid word. Well, not so solid, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, exactly. Not so solid.
Next question.
Well played, sir.
Thank you. What is your least favorite word?
Ooh. I forgot what I said last time, but least favorite word. Oh yeah, last time I said like any trendy like word that like those TikTok words, you know, that people like to say. Like fleek. Oh, I hate fleek. Okay, I'm gonna go with fleek. Like, you know, those trendy social media platform kind of words, but fleek is definitely up there.
Nice. Nice. Right on. Next question. What turns you on, spiritually, emotionally, or mentally?
Spiritually. Optimism. Definitely something that I love when people are positive, and I actually feed off of positive energy. So, you know, there have been times in my life where I've gone through dark times. Like, I've gone through dark times, and at the end of the day, I have to realize that, dude, there's so much for you to experience. You can't just, you know, stop right here. You got more to go. So optimism is definitely something that turns me on, spiritually, mentally. Yeah, optimism.
Nice. Right on, man. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
What turns you off emotionally, spiritually, or mentally?
I think the opposite of optimism, which is negativity, always, pessimism, right? I think that's the opposite of, yeah, anyone who's negative, who's always complaining, always has something bad to say, like, chill, bro, everything's gonna work out, you know? It's just, everything's gonna be fine. Yeah.
That's what I keep telling everyone about Marvel Phase 4. It's gonna be fine. Relax.
Yeah. And in the meantime, play Marvel Snap. Which is such a fun game. Not a sponsor, but it's such a great game.
Are you serious? Oh shoot, I might download it.
Dude, if you like Hearthstone, it's the same creator of Hearthstone, so great game. It doesn't actually make, like, you can't attack with your character cards, but overall whoever has the most power wins. It's such an interesting concept.
Downloading it now. Thank you.
Of course. If you like card-based games, yeah.
Don't forget, use promo code NINJASURVIVE when you download Marvel Snap to get 10,000 free gold coins.
Hell yeah.
And your free limited edition Iron Man.
Yes. I've been obsessed with it. Right now, it's the Black Panther season. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the movie's coming.
Yeah.
Tonight? Yep, yep. Tomorrow?
Tonight, actually. Yeah, tonight, today's Thursday? Yeah.
Dude, I'll watch it.
I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Yeah.
Dude. Wakanda forever, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Next question.
Mm-hmm.
What sound or noise do you love?
Ooh. I like the sound of a river flow and a waterfall. So soothing to me. Like anytime I'm out in the nature, like if I'm hiking out somewhere, like especially when I was in Japan, when we'd walk by like these beautiful rivers, just the sound, it like takes everything else out of your mind and you just like, you flow like the water. Kind of like Bruce Lee, I think, said it best. He's like, you have to be like water, you know? And
Yeah.
I was like, yes, that's what I like. The sound of water.
That's my favorite Bruce Lee quote.
Yeah.
Put the
Hell
water
yeah.
in a cup, becomes a cup. Put the water in a bowl, becomes the bowl.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Next question. What sound or noise do you hate?
Ooh. Let's see. It's definitely something dealing with like teeth hitting something. Like, you know, when like you hear like squirrels or rats, like, you know, you hear that noise.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that. And like when someone chews with their mouth open also, it's like, you know, it's kind of disgusting, but but if like you're stirring pasta, that's fine. It's similar to the mouth opening, but that wet noodle noise, that's kind of fun sometimes. Like stirring the, I'm sorry, too much.
It was good. Some people might be enjoying that, you know? You never know. They're
Oh,
like
A
ASMR.
ASMR. Too close? No, not too close. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, do it just a little louder just so that the noise suppression doesn't like make you go too away, because if you're too quiet, it won't pick you up. See, it doesn't pick you up. You need to be louder.
Is it too?
I still don't hear a
Really?
thing.
Oh, really?
Do it farther away,
Maybe
maybe.
I have to do this.
Oh, I no.
No, is it
No.
going? Oh, I think it's adjusting the volume.
Discord has that. You might have that
Damn.
setting on.
Dang
Next
it.
time,
It's
you
all
know
good.
what? Next time, come back. Next time you come on, we're gonna make sure those things are off so that next time, whenever you make those oral sounds, you can hear it.
Oh, ASMR for days, bro.
I got you, dude. Next episode's gonna be Sarkis and Steven do ASMR. Right,
That's
welcome to our
great.
episode today. In today's episode, we're gonna be talking about Marvel. And we're gonna be whispering this entire time.
Yeah, do you want to hear my shorts?
Yes. It sounded like a quack. All I heard was a crack. That's all I heard at
Damn
the
it.
end. All I heard
It
at the end
didn't
was
pick
crack.
up. Damn it. It didn't pick up. It's all good. Yeah,
Next time, you gotta project the shard, okay? You gotta project the shard.
you're right. Use your diaphragm.
Oh, God. That shark just evolved. Anyways,
Yes.
next question. Here we are. What is your favorite curse word?
Ooh, yeah, last time I said cunt. That's always fun to
Nice.
say. Noise. I remember watching Shayla's recently. Did she say like shit balls or something like that? Which
Anything
I thought
with balls, she
balls,
rolls with. She goes,
yeah.
shit balls, fuck balls.
Oh, that's great. I freaking miss Shayla. Oh, she's great.
Gonna have a podcast together. Don't forget. We're gonna have like
Let's
a trio. We're because like she's gonna have her she's in the process of creating her own podcast. So we're gonna make something happen.
Nice. I'm so excited. Wait, what was the question? My favorite curse word.
Your
Yes,
favorite
yes.
curse word.
Something that I use often. Let's see. I well, typically with curse words, well, just with me in general, I know you kind of couldn't tell when I was talking to you during the podcast, but like on a regular day's basis, I would just like change the way a curse word sounds. So instead of like fuck, I would say like fuck, you know, like I would change it completely. So I wouldn't say it would be like fuck or shit, but it would be like I shat it, you know, like
Yeah. Dude, I dig that.
Yeah, so I play with words sometimes. Like fuck would be like fook, but then there are people in the UK who say it like that. Fookin', you know?
Why are you making fun of us? Hey, fuck
Yeah.
you.
What the fuck are you do?
Are they from, is this the Swedish chef?
I don't know what I'm talking about, but cunt's always fun. I'm gonna stick with cunt.
Nice. We would have accepted Fuke here in the Why the F Now podcast.
Fuke?
That's
Okay,
a
let's
good
do
one.
fuke then. Fuke.
But a bunch of my friends and I back in like elementary school, like friends I had from elementary school to high school, we would do the same thing, like similar thing to like curse words, just because we didn't like cursing all the time. We didn't like saying shit, so we'd say shit.
Exactly.
We'd say
Yeah.
shit with an E instead of
Yes.
shit. And people would hear it and be like, I didn't say shit, I said shit. And like it'd be like
Yeah.
a soft T, a shit, you know?
A lot of Armenians, if you hear their accent, they're like, "Oh, why you do this shit to me, man?" They're like, you know, like they have that like E thing too. So, why you do this shit to me?
Don't do shit to you, man. Hey, bro, I don't do shit to you, bro. Hey.
Son of the
Damn.
beaches, you know?
Ooh, what's your favorite curse word in Armenian? Do you have a favorite curse word in Armenian?
Well,
Do you feel
in
comfortable
Armenian,
saying it? That should ask that.
actually no, because it sounds so vulgar. And like in English, it's like, you know, it's like a throwaway word. But in Armenian, it sounds really bad to the point where you wouldn't even see the shows or movies in Armenian like using those words. It's so bad. Yeah.
Whoa. Well, first off, I understand that because in Spanish, curse words sound way harsher.
Yes.
But when you're talking about, so okay, can you give me an example, like in the English word, like what the English word or phrase would be, and then you don't have to say the Armenian one, but like
Yeah.
just to give me an idea, if you could.
Yeah, sure. Like fuck or suck, like
Okay.
those words especially, like I'm just
You don't
thinking
have to say it, of
about
course. You don't have to say it.
it. But yeah, those words, shit isn't too bad. Like it actually sounds like another word in English, cuck, you know,
Oh.
like caca kind of thing. Like shit, you know, that's what shit means in
I
Armenian, but it's
wonder. Because, I mean, because if it's cock, right? And it's like similar to caca. I mean,
Yeah.
there's a lot of Spanish is derived from like Middle Eastern languages and stuff, like a lot of Spanish, so much.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the if that was the parallels right there with cock and caca.
Yeah. So like if you want to say I want to shit on you, like would it cock him out of like you know, like that's
You can't even say it. Question,
my
did you just
fam.
whisper right now? Did did your inner like polite Armenian boy come out? Like you're like, oh, my mom can't hear this.
Oh no, she can't. No, I don't cock him with it. No, I'm not gonna say anymore.
Question, when it comes to Armenian, like, because I know some languages, when it comes to English to that language translation, like say like Japanese or Korean, a lot of the times words can't be directly translated because the other language, like Korean or Japanese, translates it in not in this it translated and it translates it in not the sense of a word, but in an idea. That
Yeah.
word is translated into an idea in that language, like in Korean or in Japanese or whatever. But in Armenian, is that the case, or is it more clear-cut translation?
Yeah, it's not always clear when you do translate. Like I've even tried Google translating 'cause it's hard for me to sometimes translate to my parents like what is being said. So when I do translate it to on Google Translate, sometimes there's a word that's available in in English, but it's not available in Armenian. It just translates that same word but into Armenian letters. You know, like say for
Oh.
example, like I don't know, like racist. You know, if I say racist, it changes it to rasist. So it's like, is that the actual word, or is that just changing it to
To sound Armenian.
Armenian? Yeah, to sound Armenian. I'm like, huh? Well, anyway.
Okay, because that's another big thing then, what you just mentioned, because the Armenian language has different letters, its own alphabet, yeah?
Yeah.
That's different to, because Spanish at least shares a very similar alphabet to English.
extra letters here and there, but it's pretty much the same thing. So that makes sense. That makes sense. Dig it. Thank you for thanks
of
for
course.
For what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? Thanks for indulging my curiosity.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
I think it's dope that you learn Japanese, because I am just enamored with different languages, because the concept of languages is just, I wish I knew all the languages. I'll just say that. I think those who speak more than three languages, four languages, five, I'm just like,
oh my God, yes.
You're built differently.
Yeah.
That's an advanced human right there. That human.
They got
perks I don't have yet.
That's a specimen.
Yes. All right. Next question. Beautiful tangent. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Ah, yes. I think I touched on carpentry or welding last time. So I think I would stick with that, because while I attended CSUN, there was that workshop class where we went into the workshop and we just made stuff. And that was just so much fun, just like putting on the freaking mask and having like the welding thing, like the torch, and you're just like welding pieces of metal together, and you're like, you're cutting wood, carving wood. And also there was a costume class that, like, remember with Paula? Yeah. So like we created pieces of like clothing, put fabric with one another and stuff. So I like creating stuff with my bare hands. I may not do it as often as I would like, but that's definitely something I would have done instead of what I do now.
Nice. You made a t-shirt back then too, in CSUN, during t-shirt day? Or not t-shirt day, it was like you had to make a button-up for Paula's costume class. Or was it Elizabeth's class?
I remember the button-up, but I don't remember
the
t-shirt.
You made the button-up though?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. That was so fun.
You know, you could put a gun to my head and say, make a button up, Steven.
I don't know, Jay.
Here's a button. Go up. What do you want?
Here's a button. Use it as a zipper. I don't give a shit.
Good luck. as my people would say, vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios. It's like chingadera, you know? Like,
¿Dónde está la biblioteca? Okay. Okay. We all know.
Yes.
Next question. What profession would you not like to do?
Oh, plumbing. I definitely wouldn't like plumbing. I feel like my OCD would take over. I'm like, nah, I don't want to touch that shit. Literally. definitely plumbing.
Yeah, it's a job where you got to give them a lot of respect. Right.
Yes.
Because not a job. Everyone's like, I want to dive through shit and fix your shit.
Yeah. Your pipes aren't clean. Let me fix that right up.
It's okay. I have.
Yeah.
Your shit's clear. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Not for
next
me.
Time, don't take such big shits.
Like, oh, look at that. Oh, it looks like the fish didn't go to a farm. You flush it down the toilet. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Just tell the kid it died. You can process death together and you know, instead of lying to him, whatever.
I love
it,
this.
Dig it. All right, next question and final question.
Sure.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say as you enter the pearly gates?
Ooh, I remember what I said last time, but I'm going to change it. I want God to say, you've created down on earth. Now, why don't you create for us? Yeah. I want to create stuff in heaven.
That sounds like heaven, brother.
Hell yeah. Obviously. Or you're passionate about something and your friends are all there.
And they're all ready to help you out. Like, heaven is such an unfathomable place of a realm that your friends are there helping you with your project and your creations, but at the same time, they're having their own creations and you're helping them at the same time. And it's all happening simultaneously.
Yes.
That's heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're making five films, 10 musicals, 16 plays all at the same time.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't feel alive unless I'm doing something so passionate. Like I'm so passionate about, like Ninja Survive. I'm so freaking in. Like it's taken my whole life to just like pour my heart and soul into this project. And it's just a blast, you know, with Brandon by my side and everyone else. It's so much fun.
Well, what a beautiful way to end the segment, Sarkis, and lead us to the next part of the show, our next little ending to the show, which is your time. So please tell us one more time about Ninja Survive, anything else you're working on, where people can vote for Ninja Survive, all that stuff. Please take the floor. Let them know, Sarkis.
Sweet. Thank you. So Ninja Survive is running in these on this ballot that we have. Oh, we don't have it, but it's Channel 101's end of the year award show called The Channies. And Ninja Survive is on ballot number 10 and 11. So please go ahead and vote for us. I will send the link to Steven, so hopefully he can put it in the description. If not, you can follow me at sarcastic_circus on Instagram, or you can follow the Ninja Survive show at ninja_survive_show. On Instagram as well. And shout out to Brandon. You can follow him on Instagram at BSWOFFS on Instagram. It's BSWOFFS. And he also has a cool YouTube channel. Check it out. It's B Money Rolls. BMONEYRULZ. He makes trailer mashups, which is pretty dope. So yeah, check it out.
Dope. And all that's going to be, I'll have all the goodies for everyone. I'll have it all in the description, but the outro will take care of that for everyone. Ah, dude. Well, thank you so much for being here again, Sarkis. I can't wait for the next appearance. I want to go play video games with you now. We're going to go do shit. I mean, I'm going to rest right now, honestly, but I want to play something with you, dude. I want to play Overwatch.
Let's do it, man.
I don't have Call of Duty anymore. Okay. I'm sorry, but it's zombies. Do you play the latest Cold War? Like, are you still playing Cold War Zombies at all?
I haven't been playing it in a while since Modern Warfare 2, but I still have the game. So
if you ever want to play zombies, you hit me up and we can do we can do objective based zombies when you want to get the Easter eggs done. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Or we can do long rounds. Like I am there for long
rounds. I'm so down, bro. Let's freaking do it. And if you ever do get Modern Warfare 2 back, it does have a pretty awesome co-op mode called Spec Ops. I don't know if you looked into that.
I was trying to. I did notice in the menu, right? It has like the featured, whatever's featured in the playlist, right? And then it has campaign or multiplayer, and then campaign, and then mm-hmm. co-op or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, and it has like three options, and I tried playing one, but they ditched out on the party online, so I couldn't.
Yeah.
Me by myself, but.
It's best played with people you know, because more often than not, people flake out and they just ditch you. But it's a lot of fun, especially the first one. It's like this, it feels like you're playing Splinter Cell in a way. Like you go top secret stealth mode, you're trying to infiltrate this base with three different destinations. You have to like take a piece of like plutonium or something. Like there's, it's so fun. But that's just one of the missions. The other two are more. Expansive, I feel like. Yeah, there's a lot going on. And I think Activision announced that next year they're going to have a full-on expansion, like premium expansion to Modern Warfare 2. It's going to be like not a standard, it's not going to be a Call of Duty game like separate from Modern Warfare 2. It's just going to be they're not going to have a Call of Duty title next year. That's what they're saying. So it's just going to be like, I feel like, a $70 expansion. Where they're going to be pouring their heart and soul into more maps, multiplayer, more campaign probably, and maybe more co-op. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, damn. You are tickling my curiosity, man. You're making me want to get the game back. Damn it. Maybe.
Maybe wait for a sale. Black Friday is coming up, so.
That's true. That's the one thing you can, like you said, you can count on these games as a sale. Not with Nintendo games. They barely
go sale. Definitely not.
I'll wait on this to go on sale. Well, damn. Thanks, dude. What a great.
Hell yeah.
It's a good little note. We'll end it off there. I'm going to get over here. We're going to have little ends. That was pretty fun. Hey, what's up? Welcome back. This is the outro. You made it. You're here. You're here because you want more information. You're like, Steven, where can I get more information about Sarkis? Down in the description below. Everything you want to know about Ninja Survive and Sarkis is in the description below. Click the links. Have fun. Go wild. My links are going to be down there as well. You can check out the YouTube channel where I'm doing live streams. You can check out my TikTok. All of it you can find by searching Steven Brogan Cortez. Trying to make that, you know, just a synonymous brand, if you will. You know, I don't want to, I had some other names, but I wanted to keep it consistent, you know, make it easy to find me. But yeah, thanks for listening to the Why the F Not podcast. And before we leave, don't forget, you're enough. You're more than enough. It's incredible how enough you are. Okay? Bye. I'm done. Bye. Fade away into black.